Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. No, not good morning, because it's a 2 o'clock show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. Lots to get into on this afternoon show with you good people. Transfer updates galore as Man United get a double boost on their dream targets this summer. But we are approaching now or never on Matheus Fernandes and Tchouaméni. We've also got a fascinating piece of information that's come through in the last few minutes around inflation prices comparable to Elliot Anderson, and how every United fan who's saying it's too much has got no idea about the club that they support. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. We've got numerous other updates. Look, Bruno Guimarães, Arsenal bidding for Bruno Guimarães. Remember, this is a guy that Man United felt was too old, but the champions of England, the Champions League finalists, want Bruno Guimarães in their club, but Man United think he's too old. What does that say about our recruitment again? Loads to get into. Just want to touch on a couple of things as well from last night. Remember the Enmecha story last night? I said, it was just an opinion. I said, to me, that just feels like Germany are playing and Dortmund want to use the name United to get the boost. Romano came out overnight and said, no, not a target for Man United at the moment. So I think we can deal with that one and push that one off as well. But look, let's fly straight into a couple of bits. And I've got to say, very happy again, because the information that we're getting is good information, isn't it? Because told you 2 months ago that Man United had spoken to Tchouaméni, been saying if for weeks I'm confident on Tchouaméni, if we go for it, that he will come to Man United. And, you know, I know where that information come from. I've said it for a very long time. We are our own community. I don't need to start putting tweets out or talking about being an ITK or anything like that. I know when we get stuff and I know where it comes from. And it's nowhere near on the frequency of a David Ornstein or a Fabrizio Romano, but we do occasionally get stuff. And around Tchouaméni, as I've always said, if Real Madrid want to sell him, he's happy to sign for Manchester United. He's happy to come to Manchester United if Real Madrid sell him. Well, last night, Andy Mitten, Tchouaméni is happy at Real Madrid, but if his situation changes, he would like to play for Manchester United. And you sort of like go, mic drop, yes. Yes, because Andy Mitten's somebody that has interviewed Omar Berada. Andy Mitten is somebody that's interviewed Michael Carrick. And some people still love this traditional media that has reputation and credibility, as do I. And so when Andy Mitten's saying that, I'm sort of like, well, there you go. That's a slam dunk for this community because we've been saying it for 2 months. Tchouaméni to Manchester United is there. Another story came out from Spain this morning that Real Madrid are looking to sell him. It's there. I'm not jumping around or taking a top off in the garden or anything. I'm not doing a Ricky when Luke Shaw scores a goal. I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is that deal is there. But Bruno Guimarães is there. Tonali is there. Matheus Fernandes is there. Elliot Anderson was there. Diamande is there. It's there. I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to do it. It's there. And I'm getting fed up with saying it's there. But Real Madrid will do a deal. Tchouaméni will be happy to come to us. We've just got to want to do that deal. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but United have got to drink it. So, look, that's a positive. This window where I keep hearing people say, it's going to be the worst window ever. We're not going to buy anyone. We're going to sign Baleba. I absolutely, completely agree with you that that is a possibility. But the possibility of actually doing something significant this summer is also there as well. I understand the doom. I feel the gloom. I feel frustrated. But we can be elated. We can be achieving what we wanted to achieve at the start of this summer. We can get there. I mean, look, to be fair, there was another piece. I think it was, I wrote it down somewhere, actually. It was quite interesting. I wanted to bring it into the show. I wasn't going to bring it in this early. This is what Andy Mitten said as well in the same podcast. Situations can change. I just think if you're patient in this market, then you will get rewards. Man United, once again, I'll say, are very attractive. They're going to pay a lot of money for players, but they're not going to have their pants pulled down as they have done in the past. So some interesting points there. Situations can change. I think if you're patient in this market, then you will get rewards. They're not going to have their pants pulled down as they have done in the past. So look, I would be pretty confident that that information is coming in from Andy Mitten from the club. I would be, you know, relax, we're calm, keep calm. We spoke about this a couple of nights ago. Very clearly, that message is being conveyed to people like Andy Mitten and other journalists that if you're patient in this market, you will get rewards, and that we're not going to have our pants pulled down like we have in the past. The flip side to that coin is patience didn't get you Anderson. Patience won't get you Tonali. Patience won't get you Bruno Guimarães. Patience won't get you the players that many fans think you should get. Patience might get you what you think. But you know what? Welcome to football. Your opinion is not definitive. You can't speak to our fan base like they're fucking kids at school. You can't do that. All I hear when I see that is situations can change, and if we're patient, then we will get rewards. Rewards on your perception, not rewards on my perception or everyone else's perception. You're just stating a dictatorship that, you know, you believe if you're patient, you'll get what you want. But that might not be what I want. That might not be what the fans want. Welcome to the world of football. You can't just dictate, oh, I don't know what everyone's moaning for. If we're patient, we'll get what we want. What if that's not what I want? What if patience is belabor? I don't fucking want that. So, you know, United have got to be very careful about what they perceive to be patience and rewards, because Anderson's gone. Diamandi's going to be gone soon. Bruno Guimarães could be going to Arsenal. Tonali's probably going to Spurs. We don't know what's going to happen with Matheus Fernandes. So being patient doesn't reap the rewards of what I would want. Being patient is just a spin, isn't it, to try and define success on failure. And as for having your pants pulled down in the past, well, I don't know about anybody else, but I genuinely don't get that stance. I mean, I've heard it in real life as well. I don't get that stance. I'm like, you know, if you go to McDonald's and you have a Big Mac and it's cold, and you're in London, you know, when you're in New York with me, and I'll buy you a Big Mac in New York if I see you, and I take you into McDonald's and I say, I'm going to buy you a Big Mac, and you go, I don't want it because it was cold when I had it last time. Okay, there's a few problems with that. One, you're in London. Two, that's that specific restaurant. Three, you might have gotten lucky. You can't not have a Big Mac just because you had one bad experience. And also, it's not even that. We contributed to that experience. That Big Mac was cold because we took it home and left it on the side for an hour and it went cold. We contributed to it going cold. I'm fixated on the Big Mac. I'm hungry. My point is, you can't say we're not going to pay big anymore because we don't want to have our pants pulled down. You pulled your pants down and provided the lube. You did. You did. You paid £80 million for Harry Maguire and gave him £200,000 a week. You gave Alexis Sanchez the biggest wage in Premier League history. You spent £90 million on Antony. Like, you did that. You didn't have your pants pulled down. You did it. You did it. And maybe you should have walked away, but the problem is you can't say you had your pants pulled down and you need to walk away from any big deal now, because some people are worth it. Obviously, Antony wasn't worth it, but some people are worth it. And this is the mic drop for me, because this is something that United won't like. So this came out today from Kieran Maguire, who is a football financial expert. And basically said, Elliot Anderson, the context of this is to anybody who says we should walk away. The context of this, and we bring Matheus Fernandes in now, all these people who are saying he's not worth 80 million, we should walk away, right? All these people who say Elliot Anderson wasn't worth 160 million and we can walk away. Remember, you're talking about 15 million quid. Elliot Anderson, most people value at 65. Personally, I value him at 55, but maybe I'm being a bit cheap. So let's say Elliot Anderson is 65 million. Another 15 of overpay gets you in, right? Let's say Elliot Anderson's value is 100. I think that's fair. Paying 15 million extra gets you Elliot Anderson. So look, it's £15 million to get the player that you really, really want. But the hilarious thing is, United will put it out there. We don't want to have our pants pulled down anymore. And certain fans will go, yeah, they're right. We should walk away. Listen to this, right? This is the mic drop. This is irrefutable. Elliot Anderson's deal at £116 million puts him 31st in the all-time Premier League inflation-adjusted transfer list, now updated for 26-27 prices. So in the context of inflation in the Premier League, Elliot Anderson at £116 million would be 31st. Okay? Roy Keane, 93-94 season, we spent 3.8 million. In today's price, he'd be 106. Okay? Harry Maguire at 80 million in 1920 season, in today's prices would be £112 million. Imagine paying £112 million for Harry Maguire today. That's basically what we did with inflation. Which, and inflation means what would that be today? Because everything goes up in price, doesn't it? A can of Coca-Cola, a Freddo, a pint of beer. A pint of beer would maybe be £2 at some point. It's not there now, is it? So inflation does matter. So Roy Keane, in today's prices, what we paid, £106 million. Harry Maguire, £112 million. This is what we'd pay today for what we paid then. Berbatov, £115 million. Lukaku, £112 million. Ruud van Nistelrooy, £120 million. Jaap Stam, £121 million. Wayne Rooney, £140 million. Paul Pogba, £141 million. Dwight York, £144 million. Andy Cole, £153 million. Juan Sebastian Varon, £170 million. Rio Ferdinand, £190 million. We've been overpaying all the way through our success, basically. And that's factual. That's from Kieran Maguire with factual inflation on every big deal we've done and what it would cost today. And you can't hide behind that. You can't hide behind that. We've been consistently paying £100 to £150 million for players contextually for 30 years. But now, we won't do it. We won't do it. Zofia says you're wrong. This is bullshit inflation. Mate, it's not. It's not bullshit inflation, though, is it? Because in 1995, a pint of lager might have cost you £1.50. Today, it's probably going to cost you £7. That's inflation. Still, a pint of lager is just what it costs today. So Alan Shearer, at 15 million in 96, would probably be around 200 million now, wouldn't it? Because that's inflation. The point we're making is, Man United are trying to sell this fan base that we should walk away from these deals. But throughout our success, we never did. Van Nistelrooy, Dwight York, Andy Cole, Wayne Rooney, Rio Ferdinand, Roy Keane, you know, Jaap Stam. I even did the Jaap Stam there. We never walked away from these deals in the craving for success. All I'm doing is exposing it. And all Kieran Maguire is doing is listing it. It just exposes the hypocrisy of the bullshit that our fan base swallow now that we should walk away from big deals. We wouldn't walk away from these deals under Sir Alex. Maybe in the latter years under the Glazers, we didn't actually do many of those deals. In fact, actually, let me just go through it. Rio Ferdinand, 2002. Sebastian Varon, 2002. Andy Cole, 95. Dwight York, 99. Wayne Rooney, 05. Jaap Stam, 99, Van Nistelrooy, 02, Berbatov, 09, Lukaku. Yeah, there's a few post-Glazers, to be fair, but most of them failed. Lukaku, Di Maria. I mean, Di Maria with adjusted inflation would be 120 million. We signed him 11 years ago for £60 million. All I'm saying is these deals should be done. And also, Caicedo, with inflation, went for 115 million. That would be classed as 130 now. And Declan Rice, with inflation, would be classed as 119 now. So basically, Declan Rice joined Arsenal for 105 million. In today's market, with inflation, it'd be around 116, which is exactly what Man City have paid. So realistically, they haven't overpaid at all. They've paid the market value, and that's probably what Forrest said to them. It's worth considering. Anyway, also, just want to move on. Also in the same, I think it was a podcast that Andy Mitten did, he said Manchester United understand that Matheus Fernandes wants to join the club. He would play for Tottenham, but he'd prefer to play for Man United. So, look, going back to a positive start to this video, because there's a lot to get into. Tchouaméni is there. It's there, as I've said. And so is Matheus Fernandes, because if that's true, that Matheus Fernandes would prefer to sign for Manchester United, he will go to Tottenham, but he'd prefer Man United. It just depends on how much he'd prefer. You know, if I walk into the kitchen and say to Mrs. Goldbridge, what's for dinner tonight? And she says lasagna, great. I was going to get fish and chips. I love lasagna, but I might go, you know what? I actually feel like fish and chips. So it might not be, ugh, I hate Spurs. I want to come to Man United. It might be, I'd prefer Man United, but I don't mind going to Spurs. So it depends on, it depends on how it sort of, it pans out really. But
step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I think with regards to Elliot Anderson, sorry, not Elliot Anderson, I got it on the brain. With regards to Mateus Fernandez, I mean, look, I've told you multiple times, I'm slightly bored about this. Kieran says, your points are lost on half of this chat. They're simpletons. I don't think they're simpletons in here. We might get one or two. I think in the wider fan base, yeah, I don't think they understand inflation at all. Basically, in a very simple sentence, we bought multiple players for over £100 million equivalent over 20 years, and now our owners are trying to say, we don't want to do it. It's a bad idea. But we've always done it. We've always overpaid. I don't think it is overpaying, by the way. I think it's paying what it takes to get your players. Just on the Elliot Anderson thing, because loads of people have asked me about it, what do I think about it? I don't think anything about it. I think that Manchester City have paid what I would probably expect, plus 10 million, to get the player that they want. Some people are acting like, you know, they've got Marcus Albrighton out of retirement and for 100 million quid. They've bought the starting England midfielder from Nottingham Forest, who is 23 and one of the most coveted players in European football at the moment, for 116 million pounds. 3 years ago, Caicedo went from Brighton to Chelsea for 105. And 2 years ago, Declan Rice went from West Ham to Arsenal for 106. It's roughly the same price. I would say that that's not overpaying. I would say that that's probably what I would have expected. And I find it quite laughable that people think Man City have overpaid, because I don't. I think that's the market. And you either shit or get off the potty. And Man City have gone, yeah, we'll do that deal. I'd rather have a club like that than a club like us. I can't stand the way we approach transfers. I can't stand the fact that we're in a bloody bidding war with Tottenham. I can't stand the fact that we're competing with Tottenham on Mateus Fernandes, sort of going, oh my God, please, please drop the here we go to Man United and not Spurs. I think it's bloody embarrassing, if I'm completely honest. And also what I would add to that is, why is it that Arsenal have put a bid in for Bruno Guimarães out of fucking nowhere, and a month later we still haven't bid for Mateus Fernandes? What is it about not wanting to bid? Like, bid what we're going to bid. We might get the deal done. You know, I don't get it. And also, Ben Jacobs was saying that we'd considered Bruno Guimarães and then backed off. Like, I'm not going to spend any time talking about Bruno Guimarães, really, because we're clearly not going to do anything about it. And Arsenal are. Suffice to say, I said it at the time when we got linked to him in March, he's 28. He's not 38. He's 28. You'll probably get 3-4 good years out of him. And he's not going to cost a huge amount of money because he's only got 2 years left on his contract. Arsenal have played a blinder, by the way. Apparently, they've offered about 55. Knowing Newcastle will reject it. But it's a blinder. I did a video on That's Football. It's an absolute blinder by Arsenal, right? Because what they've done is, they already know they can go for Alex Scott, Bawardi, and there's someone else really good that they're looking at. I can't remember who it is. There's four players Arsenal are linked to in the midfield. Bawardi, Alex Scott, Bruno Guimarães, Tonali. Yeah, I think Tonali's the other one, right? So they've played a blinder, really, because they go into Newcastle and they offer 55 for Bruno Guimarães, right? Bruno Guimarães is sat out there in the Brazil squad in the United States. And he goes, fucking out. Arsenal have just gone and offered money for me. They've just won the league. They're in the Champions League and they want me. On your phone to your agent. Oi, what are Newcastle doing? Rejecting that. I've only got 2 years left on my contract. I'll fucking run it down. If Arsenal are going to put in a reasonable offer, why won't they let me go? They've let Anthony Gordon go. They're thinking about letting Tonali go. So straight away, Bruno Guimarães is unsettled. master move by Arsenal, because ultimately they've now got an opportunity. It might work out, it might not work out, but it's a clever play to unsettle the apple cart. Why would we not just put a bid in for Matheus Fernandes? Why don't we just put a bid in of 65 plus 15 in add-ons? 65 million is what a lot of people think he's worth, and the 15 million in add-ons takes it to 80, which is what West Ham want. Now, they might reject it, but if we put that offer in and Matheus Fernandes wants to come to us, he can whack on the door and go, hold on a minute, that's where I want to go, and they've put a decent offer on the table. Well, we're waiting for a Spurs offer, but I don't fucking want to go to Spurs. If Spurs offer 80, I want to go to Man United, and they're giving you 65 plus 15. Right, if you go to Man United and they say 70 plus 10, we'll do it. In fact, if you go back to Man United and say 70 plus 15, we'll do it. Arsenal have shown the way there. They've unsettled the situation by putting a public bid in. I think we need to learn about these public bids, because if Matheus Fernandes does want to come to us, it's now or never, isn't it? Personally, I think I'd offer 60, 65 or 70 plus 15. And then if the player wants us and Spurs offer 80, he's got every right to say to West Ham, all right, they're offering 80. They're not offering 80 plus 15. They're offering 80. You'll still get 80 from Man United anyway, and that's where I want to go. So I think Arsenal have done a good one there. Would you go for Bruno Guimarães? Yes. Not you. I'm not answering for you. Would I go for Bruno Guimarães? Yes. United's problem is money here. Like, we're not going for Bruno Guimarães because he's worth 250 grand a week in wages. We're not going for Tonali because he's worth 250 grand a week in wages. We don't want to break our wage structure. You can figure it out very quickly. Are they over 26? Probably going to avoid them. Are they going to want over 200 grand a week? Probably going to avoid them. Are they going to be over £80 million? Probably going to avoid them. And these parameters make it very, very difficult. And United saying being patient in this market will have rewards. I think what they're talking about there is waiting in this market for what's left. There'll be desperate sellers within our parameters. I don't like that. I agree. We will pick up some players under £80 million, under 200 grand a week later in the market, because clubs will get desperate to sell. It's an inflated market with lots of people. But that doesn't mean we get our best targets, does it, really? Gary Edward says, should we include Rashford into Tchouaméni and Camavinga possibly deal? He was Mourinho's favourite. This will spite Barcelona from taking advantage of as maybe another Figo case, but don't care. Look, you know what? I've heard a few people saying that, Gary, about Marcus Rashford. Interestingly, Fabrizio Romano put out this morning that there's nothing going on between Tottenham and Marcus Rashford. Again, another bit of exclusive news for us, because I told you that. Was it two nights ago? Rashford, Tottenham, not going to happen. Never was going to happen. So Tchouaméni and Rashford stories, we've been talking about that way before credible people like Andy Mitten and Fabrizio have brought them out. So look, Tottenham, Premier League, Marcus Rashford, it won't happen. Real Madrid, having been at Barcelona, I don't know that Rashford strikes me as the sort of person that would do that, really. You know, I think he enjoyed his time at Barcelona. To go to Real Madrid, you'd need Mourinho to want him, you'd need Real Madrid to want him, and you'd need him to want to go into that situation, having been at Barcelona last year, which is putting a lot of pressure on yourself. And you think about all the pressure he had at Man United. Do you want to put yourself in that environment when he was very happy at Barcelona? So I don't know whether it would happen, Gary, if I'm being completely honest with you, but he ain't going to be going to Tottenham. Al says, by the way, we tried tier two and three midfielders in Schneiderlin, Fellaini, Hernandez and co, and it didn't work out. The issue has always been that we treat them as Prem, says Al Amir. Thank you very much. Anyone who chooses chips over lasagna goes to jail, says Just Pasty. And Glenn says, the bigger issue is we could have gone to 116 million. What we couldn't do is pay 116 million up front, which apparently what City has done and can do, says Glenn. Yeah, and also, the wage of Elliot Anderson, I haven't heard it yet. But I think it will be around 250, which we won't want to pay. Decades of stealing from clubs, owners can't hide from it anymore. It's easy to say we won't pay over the odds then when we don't have the funds anymore. We get fooled by the odd shiny new thing and words like best in class. You know what, Erthan? It's a very good comment. I can't really comment on it factually, but it is something that we've heard about a lot over the years that seems to have been hidden this summer. We are factually in an incredible amount of debt. We factually owe hundreds of million pounds in transfers we've already done. We're not able to sell to buy because we've got no value in any of our players. And we've got to build a new stadium. So it's not really being reported, but it could be a big factor that we are absolutely crushed by cost. So maybe that, you know, we'll have to wait and see what we do. Where would you put Tchouaméni and Fandes on the hotometer as of today, says Ian? I haven't done the hotometer in so long. Let me have a quick look if we've got it. I do. Here we go. And this should be up permanently because it is bloody hot. Edison's done, so ignore him. Fernandez, 8. Anderson, 7. He's gone. Tchouaméni, 6. Hall, 6. Belaba, 6. Scott, 4. I'd remove, obviously, I'd Edison because it's done, and I'd remove Anderson because it's done. Would I keep Fernandez on an 8? Yes, I would. I would. I mean, ultimately, you could say he's a 1 if it doesn't happen. But I think right here, right now, it's there. You know, it's doable. You know, we're in the race. We could win the race. Obviously, you don't get a gold medal for coming second, but we are in the race, so I'd keep it as an 8 out of 10. Tchouaméni as a 6, I think, is perfect. I think there's a 60% chance of it happening. He will come to us, as I've said many times. Real Madrid will sell to us if they buy somebody else. It's whether we want to pay. And I think United might be forced to do that deal. I mean, they shouldn't be forced to do the deal. It's a very logical deal to do. But I think they might be forced to do that deal because it's, you know, he's probably the only real replacement for Casemiro, like stylistically, and Real Madrid want to move him on, and he will fit within our budget. I suspect the club's reluctance to spend on players has to do with financial risk assessment data, not player stats, i.e. potential net future sale value or potential losses if they flop, says Lee. Lee, absolutely. If we are assessing recruitment on data, we'll definitely be running financial data on every deal that we do. Yeah, and people don't think about this. They go, oh, Data Dean, he's analysing players. He understands how far they run and, you know, what foot they use. And it's so, the data is so granular around the player. You can guarantee that player data is going hand in hand with a load of financial data, as Lee B says. And that financial data will be total cost of across the 5-year contract, resale value, new contract value. 100%, that'll be part of the package. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if in the boardroom they're being given packages on a player. Half of it's on actual player and another bit of it's on financial as well. Whilst I understand the point you tried to make with inflation, all the players you listed were the best at the time. Is Anderson really that good, says Lil? Well, I don't think that defeats what I'm saying, Lil. What I'm saying is Manchester United consistently spent the equivalent of 100 to 150 million pounds on players for the entirety of Sir Alex Ferguson's reign. Once Bastien Veron flopped, he was, 150 million pounds in today's prices? Like, we bought flops then as well. But we had an intention to go and get what we felt was the best. Whether you think Elliot Anderson's worth it or not is irrelevant. The point is, United won't do it anyway. And Man United told us he was our priority. It's not what you think, Lil, or what I think. You don't write the check. Maybe if you were Sir Jim Ratcliffe, you'd say, I'm not writing this check because I don't think he's good enough. Man United told us for 9 months that Elliot Anderson was our priority. He's now wearing light blue. At Christmas, they told us Semenyu was the priority. He's now wearing light blue. Like, we can't rewrite history. For 9 months, David Ornstein, Fabrizio Romano, and everybody told us that Elliot Anderson was our priority. He's now wearing a Man City shirt. We used to go and buy those players. We used to go and buy the Wayne Rooneys, the Sebastian Verons, the Van Nistelrooys. We used to go and buy these priorities. We're now not buying our own priorities. I'm not dismissing the fact that you don't think he's worth it or you don't think he's good enough, but Man United told us he was. They told us he was the priority. And they've walked away because he's too expensive. But if he's your priority, I'm sorry. What I'm saying is you've told us he was your priority and then you're walking away because he's too expensive. But he's not too expensive. Contextually to what we paid for loads of other players over the years, it's about market value. And you're walking away from market value or slightly over market value for a player that you've told us you wanted. And we're going to keep doing that. And that's my issue, Lil. It's not about whether you think he's good enough. And also, Man City think he's good enough. How many titles have Man City won in the last 10 years? They think he's good enough. Whose recruitment do you trust more? Man United's or Man City's? Sadly, I trust Man City's recruitment. They've got a much better strike rate and they pay what they want when they need it. And Man City don't always spend £100 million either. They quite rarely do that. If we want best in class, we have to pay the price. Exactly, Vicky, exactly. United should shop in South Africa, says Theatre of Dreams. The real issue seems to be wages, not fees. They would have been happy to pay 80 for Belieber last year because he would have been on 100k a week, says Goldfridge. I think wages are a big part of it yet. I wouldn't be surprised if Cunha gets a bid from Madrid. Not this year. Not this year, just pasty, but it will come.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Z3 Music Official says, for what Anderson went for, what Fernandez will go for, and what Scott will go for, I'm not sure what bargain bin they're planning on getting this tap talent from. I'm tired of the pies and the spin. Well, this is a good point as well, Z3. Of course, we think we're going to get value in the market. How do you get value in the market when Elliot Anderson's gone for 116 million? Everybody's price just went up. I mean, if you're West Ham, you're literally there going, we're not taking anything less than 80 now. And Mateus Fernandez at £80 million is going to turn a few eyes, of course. Robotic Maniac, thank you very much for gifting a membership. I went to bed at 2 o'clock this morning. Would you justify spending 300k a week in wages? Yes. Lil, are you literally Jason Wilcox? Like, you're talking to the wrong person. I will pay what it takes to get the player I want. If Tonali wants 250 grand a week and Newcastle want 90 million, I'll pay it. If Tchouaméni wants 250 grand a week and Real Madrid wants 70, I will pay it. I will pay it because that's what I want. I don't know why some people in our fan base have become accountants on a football club they clearly don't understand. Go and do a history lesson of how we were successful. We weren't successful from walking away and having a wage limit. We've never been successful doing that, by the way. Search the history of the club you're meant to support and tell me why you're suddenly glazing the Glazers for walking away and not having having a wage limit, when every year of our success was based upon spending money to get the best players available. That's what I'm saying. You're not going to catch me out on going, well, I wouldn't pay that fee or I wouldn't pay that wage. If it's the right player, go and get them. Now, I won't pay £100 million for Belieber and I won't give Belieber 250 grand a week because I don't think he's good enough. But if I think a player is good enough, then why does Erling Haaland earn £500,000 a week? Because he's the best striker in the world. Some players are worth it. We all know our club and have every reason to not trust them to spend what it takes to acquire the players we need to fill the holes in our team, says Gregory. Fernandez can be tactics to push the price up, says Theatre of Dreams. Should we include... I've done that one from Gary as well. Okay, a couple of other things I want to talk about this morning as well. Sorry, I'm not on the morning show. I'm on the afternoon show. I need more sleep. Sky is saying that Man United and Arsenal are the current front runners for Alex Scott. I don't see how Alex Scott is... Look, I like Alex Scott, right? I'm seeing people say we should pivot towards Alex Scott. I don't see how Alex Scott is any different to Mateus Fernandez. In some ways, it's harder because Arsenal are interested. I think Liverpool are interested. And Bournemouth want 80 million. Tell me how that's any different to the situation we're in with Mateus Fernandez at the moment. So I think it's going to be expensive whatever we do because we didn't move quick enough. And that's where I am with it. We didn't move quick enough on our targets. So now that Elliot Anderson deal is done, it sets a line in the sand for every other midfielder, in the Premier League especially. I think I was speaking to... I was speaking to somebody yesterday about this Elliot Anderson, and they said, well, in reality, Tyler Adams was probably 40 million. He's probably 60 now. Mateus Fernandez and Scott were probably 60 million. They'll be 80 to 90 million now. Everybody's price just went up by £20 million. And it's true, which makes Edison look a bit of a bargain now, if I'm being honest. But it's one of three that we need to bring into the club. What do you think about this news that Man United are preparing a bid? And it'll be £70 million. I haven't heard this. I certainly haven't seen Romano or David Ornstein talk about it. I mean, what I will say is that, and I don't know where that's come from, but it's the hilarity of the transfer window, I suppose, in a way, because even Fabrizio Romano wouldn't get a call from Man United's, because it's a separate department. Like, Man United people working on the transfer will be people like Matt Hargreaves, Jason Wilcox, Omar Berada. Man United's communications department are fed by them, and then they feed information out. There's no way Matt Hargreaves is picking up the phone to Fabrizio and saying, yeah, I'll hold. Fabrizio, we are about to put a bid in for £70 million. That's what we're going to do. Please tweet it and do a video. I mean, I don't know where that bullshit's coming from. It might be a lucky guess, because let's be honest, we're going to bid, if we bid, somewhere between 60 and 75, which is, you know, 70 is a good thing. But how anybody can put it out there that Man United are about to bid for 70 million would, for you to believe that, you'd have to believe that Matt Hargreaves has contacted that person to tell them what we're about to do, which is preposterous. It's preposterous, isn't it? It's like some, you know, it's like Donald Trump ringing up some random American to tell them what new policy he's going to announce. This is where we've got into trouble with the Fernandez deal anyway, because this rush to be first from chances creates hysteria. And I'm not going to back the club on this, but realistically, when it comes to transfers, I think you can have opinion and credibility. We predominantly swim in opinion. When it comes to credibility, I know where to get it from. And it's not Twitter from some account who I don't know who they are. And it's not The Sun. And it's not certain journalists either. So whenever I read, I'm hearing Man United are about to put a bid in of however much, I think you're hearing fucking voices in your head, mate. Man United are not ringing you up. When if they wanted to ring anybody up, they would ring Ornstein or Romano, because that's the place to do it. If Man United want people to know, that's where you go, because they've got millions of followers. So I've not heard anything about that. I don't know where it's coming from, but it might be a lucky guess. Maybe we will offer £70 million first. I think whatever we offer, we should do it quick, because there's a window of opportunity. Do you think the longer it goes on, the more chance we've got? I do, in a way, because I think if you are negotiating to buy a house and you've got a good rapport and, you know it's a negotiating process and you're going back and forth, and then somebody comes in and says, I really want it, here's the money, you'd expect that to happen really quickly. And the longer it goes on, you think, ooh, that hasn't happened quickly, so maybe we have still got a chance. I think the longer it goes on, it probably does lean more towards us, but we'll see. Neil McKay says, patience gets you leftovers. Yeah, just going back to that comment by Andy Mitten that the club say that patience will reap rewards. If you're at an all-you-can-eat buffet and you sit back while everyone goes up, do you think you're going to get a good plate of food? Only if, when it's all gone, they come out with more. But is there more? Not in a transfer market. You know, if you miss out on Tonali and Elliot Anderson and Alex Scott and Mateus Fernandez, four players like that don't reappear. They're gone. And it is like that. I don't think patience does necessarily give you rewards in a transfer window, because when players start to go, they don't get replaced. They're gone. Which is why, for me, the dream window of Tchouaméni and Fernandez is there, and we have to grasp it. Given the glaring gaps in the squad, why is a club with Manchester United's global revenue and commercial power constantly being outspent or outmaneuvered in the transfer market by rivals? Because the club's been run badly for 20 years, mate, and we're paying the price of that. I think the stadium gives you the answer. Why is the greatest stadium
in the Premier League now crumbling away into irrelevancy because the Glazers let it rot. I think when you look at Old Trafford in 2005 and you look at it in 2026, it's a metaphor for every answer you want about why Man United fail. We had the best stadium in the Premier League. Factually, in 2005, it only just had the latest renovation done. It was the best stadium in the Premier League, and now it's a laughingstock. Man United was the best club in the Premier League, now it's a laughingstock. Man United used to be able to flex its muscles on big players, now it doesn't. All of it goes back to the same cause. It's just been a badly run club for 20 years. They either genuinely think they can achieve success with a limited budget or they don't trust their own scouting to pay for the best players, says Mr. M. Wright. Look, let's see what happens in the next couple of weeks. There is still an opportunity to get Mateus Fernandes and there is still an opportunity to get Tchouaméni. And if we get those two players and have Ederson as well, that's not a bad midfield. Benefit of the doubt? Maybe. The reality will come. But both of those players are gettable for Manchester United. Both of them will come to Manchester United. It's not like De Jong, who didn't want to come. Like, we have two players that want to come to our football club if the situations that we can manipulate occur. Every summer I dream, United wakes me up, says Prestiged. Canadian Red Devil, thanks for being a member for 50 months. Why aren't Man United signing... I don't know who that is. Sorry, Invincible Henry. I understand why we're not going for Gomes. He's around the same age when Casemiro came to us. By the way, please support Portugal, Mark, says Michael. And I know people say installments is the done thing these days, but a lot of those deals you mentioned, we paid cash. We never used to have transfer debts, says Glenn. So the best we can hope for next season is to match the team from last season. Beyond replacing Casemiro, we're not doing much, and even that's in question, says Nick Pete. And Alex says, it's clear we're waiting for the new financial year. I fear that by the time we're ready to bid for players, the good ones will be sold and the ones left will be on inflated prices. But we don't, Alex, I don't agree with we're waiting for the new financial year. I don't agree with that at all. Ederson will sign in the new financial year. Elliot Anderson will sign in the new financial year for Man City. You can do the deal and pay it in July. It's a myth that we need to wait to bid until July. Anderson's on 300k per week, according to Ornstein. Do you think it's going to be Fernandes and Tchouaméni or Fernandes or Tchouaméni? Or Sunrise's army is what people are hinting at this week. I think it has to be both. Sunrise says, Romano's talking bullshit on Fernandes' transfer. He's not getting any clues from United and purely speaking from West Ham. Like, of course, they would sell to highest bidder, but player E has a say. Look, if you want my observation on information that people are getting on Mateus Fernandes, I think absolutely everybody is talking complete and utter bollocks. I think you're right. I don't think anybody's getting anything. David Ornstein has not said a bloody word. And yet he's updated on Bruno Gomes within a few hours. So I don't think the top credible journalists are really getting anything. Romano's model is that he has to talk about it because he's posting three videos a day. He's doing three interviews a day. He's doing multiple tweets a day. It's a very different world that Romano operates into Ornstein. They complement each other really well. In the transfer business, they are Messi and Ronaldo. But I would agree that Fabrizio is probably regurgitating stuff because he has to do daily updates. Ornstein just doesn't do that. He swoops in with updates, but he's not getting anything either. You've got a load of people pretending they've got information. I think the truth is nobody knows what United are going to do. I think we're trusting the buy-in of the player, but we're wary of what Spurs are going to do. And I think Spurs are trying to get the buy-in from the player to bid. And I think you've got this maybe halfway house at the moment where the player may be leaning slightly towards us, but Tottenham's the bigger financial package. But Tottenham can't bid because the player hasn't totally committed. And Man United are hoping that the player commits to them so they can drive the price down. That's my interpretation of it. But, you know, that's not a great update for a Romano video, is it? But, you know, and I do think Fabrizio is very credible. I think he's broken a lot of stories this summer already. I think the problem sometimes with Fabrizio is, and where people get irritated, is that David will give one update every now and again that he's right, whereas Romano's model is he has to keep talking about it all the time. So, yeah. Cheap tools break quickly and replacing them constantly costs more in the long run than just investing in quality gear from the start, says Tom. Look, I've thoroughly enjoyed doing the 2 o'clock show with you all today. Beth wanted to swap because, I don't know why, it's not my business. And I said, that suits me perfect because I was up until 2 o'clock in the morning watching the Japan game. So I got to have a little bit of a sleep in, although it was bloody hot last night. Thank God the temperature drops tonight. Talking of tonight, we are back in the 7 o'clock slot tonight because I'm doing Norway-France on That's Football at 8. So you can come here for 7, over to there for 8. And I think I'm doing Uruguay-Spain at 1 a.m. But it's the weekend. It's fine. It's all good. So the good old days, says Neil. I know I used to love doing the 2 o'clock show. Yeah, I did. So, yeah, thank you very much, everybody, for watching. Make sure you're subscribing to the channel and smash a like. And I will speak to you at 7 p.m. tonight, unless anything happens before that. Take care. Stay safe. And speak to you in a bit.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.